thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want you to think for a moment about the people that you know personally, maybe in your family or in your close circle, who are not yet saved. Now, for some of you, that might only be a few people. For others of you, that will be the majority of people. If you had to choose one person within your close circle, in your family or your close friends, who you would say they have got the hardest heart towards the gospel, what one of those people would you think of? When you think about that person, when you pray for that person, do you sometimes wonder, how on earth is God ever going to be able to break into their lives? How is God ever going to be able to break through the hardness of their heart? Do you sometimes doubt that that person will ever be saved, could ever be saved? Because you just can't see how it would happen. There are many things that cause people's heart to be hard. It might be an addiction, and the person themselves, they just don't see any way how that addiction could be broken in their lives, and so they build a wall around themselves, and it seems impossible to break through. It might be that somebody was very badly hurt by someone and they build a kind of impenetrable shell around themselves. You just think, it's so hard. How could you break through? It might simply be that they love their sinful lifestyle. And because they love it and they're enjoying it, they refuse to even listen to the gospel. They don't want to hear it. For some people, the hardness comes from pride. They pride themselves in their intellectual arguments against the Bible or refusing to even acknowledge that they have a spiritual need. Some other people's hardness is self-righteousness. They're good living. They're maybe religious. And it's like they're inoculated against the gospel. Now, it might be, as we said this morning, people who refuse to crown Jesus as king of their lives. They want to be the boss. They want to be in charge. There's no end to the things that cause people's heart to be hardened. Whatever you believe is causing the hardness of heart in the person that you have identified in your own family, in your own circle, who you would say is the hardest person you know against the gospel, I want to encourage you this evening, right from the outset, that no one is too hard, ever too hard, for the Lord. No one is too hard for the Lord. And this evening, I want us to look at one of the most remarkable conversions is recorded in the New Testament, and to use that as an encouragement to each one of us to remember there is nothing impossible with God. So we want to turn to Acts chapter 9. If you haven't guessed who it is, that should probably give you your clue. Saul's conversion. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Stephen has been martyred. Persecution has broken out, really severe persecution has broken out against the church. So starting to read at verse 1 of chapter 9 of Acts. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." That was his wee, "Please, Lord, I don't want to go there." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Nothing is too difficult for God. No one is too difficult for God. There could not have been many people alive who were more opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ than the young Saul of Tarsus. He was fanatical in his opposition to Christianity and Christians. He was utterly convinced it was a cult. It was a dangerous cult. The people were deluded and they were a danger to Judaism. The first time that we meet Saul is at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyred for his faith in Jesus. You'll probably know that those who were witnesses to Stephen's stoning laid their cloaks at Saul's feet. That tells us something of the importance of Saul there. And he stood there giving approval to Stephen's death. We know from his own testimony, he was educated and thoroughly trained in the Jewish law by Gamaliel, who was the preeminent teacher of the day. He came from a devout Jewish background. In fact, it was a religious pedigree to be proud of. His ancestry and heritage within Judaism, he fully intended to honour that, to follow faithfully in the footsteps of his fathers. Saul was a religious man and proud of it, in the wrong sense of the word. He didn't need all this Jesus stuff. Do you know anybody like that? "I don't need all that Jesus stuff." That was Saul. Religious, but didn't need the Jesus stuff. Here's what he said of himself in Philippians 3, 4 to 6. "If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee." That meant taking it to the nth degree. "As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." That was the root, That was the root right there of his hardness of heart. Self-confidence. Self-confidence. There was so much about his life he was proud of, and it convinced him he didn't need Jesus to save him. So from his earliest years, he'd been schooled in the scriptures, in the faith. He knew the Old Testament really well, and there was no way he was going to just stand back and ignore this pretender, Jesus, and allow his disciples to spread this dangerous message that he had been raised from the dead, that he was the Messiah that God had promised. He wasn't going to let it happen. He was going to put an end to it. Even many of the Jewish priests had already come to faith. So we needed to get an opportunity to try and wipe out Christianity. And here was the opportunity. There was Stephen, an incredible man, full of wisdom, doing amazing signs, wonders, miracles among the people. The Jews tried to argue with him. They couldn't. Stephen was so wise and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Stephen was specifically targeted as somebody who needed to be disposed of. How do you silence somebody who's so powerful in word and deed and that people flock to? How do you do that? You go back to the same old tactics that were used against Jesus. You get people to make false accusations against him, and you use that as a cover to bring you before a religious court in a rigged trial. And that's what they did. Now, Stephen was at this religious court in the Sanhedrin. This was an opportunity. He was presenting his defense. He probably knew it was a rigged court. He probably knew it was the end of the road for him. But Stephen wasn't just going to stand there. Stephen was going to take this opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you read this in Acts chapter 7, it's wonderful. You feel the power of his words. But not only that, it tells us that those men looking at Stephen saw his face was like the face of an angel. What do you imagine that was like? What do you imagine? I imagine radiant. That's what I imagine. Glowing, radiant face. Would that have had an impact on anybody? And when we read this, the rest of this, this powerful speech, what kind of an impact did it have on those listening? Well, at the end of it, they took him out and they stoned him to death. They dragged him out. At the end of his speech, they had their hands over their ears, these men in the council. They were yelling at the tops of their voices, and they dragged him outside of Jerusalem and they stoned him to death. You might think, well, his speech fell on deaf ears. Sometimes we don't see an immediate response to the truth, but that doesn't mean it isn't making an impact. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it takes multiple times to hear the truth before it actually hits home. But no doubt on the day of Stephen's stoning, when Saul heard that speech, listening to it, he'd have realized, here's a man who knows the scriptures. If you read it, so Stephen takes you through right through the Old Testament, right up to Christ. And then Stephen accused the Jewish leaders. He said, you have betrayed and murdered the righteous one, and you haven't kept the law of God. Well, for Saul, such a thing was impossible. Stephen was speaking about Jesus, the righteous one. And Saul saying, Jesus cannot be the righteous one. It's impossible. God would never have allowed the righteous one to hang on a cross. That could never be God's way. And as for keeping the law, well, Saul said, for legalistic righteousness, well, I'm faultless, so it can't be me. So as Stephen was stoned to death, Saul stood there, hard-hearted, cold, cloak's laid at his feet, giving his approval, full of his own self-righteousness. But that whole event galvanized him in his determination. He was going to put an end to stuff about Jesus. He was going to wipe out these Christians. From that time on, Saul went on a mission to persecute Christians, on a mission. He was breathing out threats and murder. Right, if somebody came into Ballymoney this evening and they were absolutely intent on destroying Christianity and they were breathing out threats and murder and they had the power and the authority to do it, what would you think of that person? You'd probably be a bit scared of them. You'd think they're such a hard and a callous heart. He was dragging people off, men and women, throwing them into prison. He was determined to see people killed. What a hard heart. If you'd lived then, you'd probably have thought, there's a man who's too hard for the gospel. You'd probably have thought, there is a man that has overstepped some sort of a boundary. There's a man whose hardness of heart is going to take him to hell. Is a person that you thought of at the beginning this evening harder than Saul? Are they? Are they more intense in their hatred of Christians than Saul was? Have they got stronger arguments against the faith than Saul had? Are they willing to persecute and murder Christians because they hate them so much? In your heart, you're thinking, well, they're too hard. They're maybe too ingrained in religion. They're maybe so full of pride. They're maybe very self-righteous. They're maybe totally into drugs and drink and pleasure of the world. Or maybe they're just completely and utterly disinterested. That's his own kind of hardness. And you're thinking, I don't know if anything could break through that hardness. If you think that, you're not alone. That's what many people thought of Saul of Tarsus. They thought he's too hard. He's too set against the gospel. He's too entrenched in his opposition. It'd be impossible to break through. Did you know God specializes in the impossible? God loves to do the impossible, and it brings glory to his name to do it. I remind you, and I said this verse this morning, of what Jesus said on another occasion when the disciples were scratching their head and wondering who on earth could be saved. And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Friends, we need to remind ourselves of this truth because we tend to focus on what is humanly possible. And we overlook the fact that at any moment, God can be speaking into any heart. At any moment, God can totally stop someone in their tracks. God can literally overwhelm someone with his power and his presence in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant. Don't ever give up on someone being saved. No matter how hard they seem to be, no one is too hard for God. What is humanly impossible is divinely possible. My sister told me that she had heard a preacher quite recently who was talking about someone who wasn't saved, and the preacher was praying for that person to be saved. And he said, he felt God say to him, stop praying for that person now, because I've stopped, my spirit has stopped striving with them, I've stopped speaking to them, there's no hope left for them. I have to admit, I just didn't agree. I thought God, I was going to say God didn't say that, it's a bit presumptuous of me. I don't think God said that. For whatever reason, I think the person gave up. I think, friends, until somebody takes their dying breath, don't give up. That's what I believe. Don't give up. My own grandfather got saved at Miss Neville and Miss Kelly Mission at 90 years of age, having been totally apathetic and disinterested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. At 90 years of age, he lived 9 or 10 years to give glory to God. Don't ever give up. Don't write somebody off. People probably wrote off Saul of Tarsus. He was going along the road with his servants, breathing out murderous threats, breathing out threats and murder. He was carrying letters in his pocket, authorizing him to persecute and imprison Christians in Damascus. His heart, it was full of hatred, hardness, bitterness. I wonder, was he thinking about Stephen? I wonder, did he reflect on that speech? I wonder, did he reflect on Stephen's angelic face? I wonder, did he reflect on Stephen's dying words as he fell to his knees, asking God not to hold this sin against the people? But he's going along with a hard heart. And then suddenly, out of the blue, in an instant, everything changed for Saul of Tarsus. Jesus Christ spoke directly into his life. It's phenomenal. We've already read the account of what happened. Remarkable in its power. Light from heaven flashed around him. And dare I say, within him. He fell down on the ground. We're not told. People always say he fell off a horse. We don't know if he was on a horse or where he was. He fell down. He saw Jesus. In this instance, Saul was confronted with the living. The living. He would have believed the rumor that was promoted by the Jewish leaders that Jesus' disciples stole the body in the middle of the night when the guards were sleeping and hid the body. He would have believed that. And then here on the Damascus Road, the living Jesus appeared to him and spoke directly into his heart. Friends, you see in that moment, his pride, his self-righteousness, his wrong assumptions, his hardness of heart, his hatred was smashed into a million pieces and he was converted. Hallelujah. No heart is too hard for God to break into. No heart. Not only that, the man who was the most intense persecutor of Christians, the Bible says he caused havoc in Jerusalem. He was God's chosen instrument to carry the gospel to the Gentiles and also to the people of Israel. Nothing, no one is too hard for the Lord. What can we do though when we think hearts appear too hard for God? Renew your faith in what God says. Renew your faith in what God says. Sometimes our faith grows a bit dim because we focus on what we see as the impossibilities rather than focusing on the truth of what God says is possible. And if our faith becomes dim, we either give up praying or we pray kind of half-heartedly because we feel we should pray. Why not go back to the Word of God? Look again at what God says he can do and he wants to do. Spend time getting those truths right into your heart. I read a wee illustration in a book last night. I thought it was good. I thought I might do this some Sunday because I have one at home, a slow cooker, a crock pot. You know a slow cooker? Most of you have a slow cooker at home. You put your meat in and you leave it there for ages. It doesn't generally go to mush, but anyway, sometimes mine does. You leave it there and all the flavour goes in. It's just slow, slow, slow cooking. That's what we need to do. Our hearts have to be a slow cooker for the Word of God. Let it in there and to marinate and to just be cooking away there, building faith in our hearts about what God does. I encourage you, look at some of the stories of lives that Jesus broke into. What about the immoral woman by the well? What not about the demon-possessed men living among the tombs, harming themselves, totally tormented and demented. What about Lydia, the rich woman, a dealer in purple? What about the jailer and his family, the night of the earthquake in the prison? What about Zacchaeus, the thieving tax collector? That's how you build faith. Read how God breaks into lives, feeding your mind on the truth rather than what you see just with your natural eyes. And then use these truths to pray in faith. If we don't believe God's able, if we don't believe it, half-hearted prayers, rote prayers. But see, when you believe, it's a whole different dynamic. When you believe, God can do it. You pray in a whole different kind of a way. The Word of God, friends, this is the fuel for prayer. Oh, it is. Can't pray just out of emotion. Because some days, if the person you're praying for, if they're resistant to the gospel, and if they let you know it, they can send your emotions dive into the ground. You feel depressed about it. You feel hopeless about it. Don't pray just about how you feel. This is the fuel. Fill your mind with the truth. That is what aids and fuels our prayers. And then keep sharing the Word of God. Keep sharing it. Testify to his power. When I read the story of Stephen's speech before the Sanhedrin and his words as he died, I truly believe that had an impact in Saul's heart. I truly believe it. Friends, don't be silenced through fear. Some people say, oh, you know, I just live it out in my life. I don't say anything anymore. I just live it out. You maybe argue a case for that. But are you not speaking because you're scared to speak? That's different. Don't be silenced through fear. Keep speaking about Jesus. Keep speaking about his ability to save. Keep speaking about the need to be saved. Let's keep testifying about Jesus, because he is the one and the only one with the power to save. He is mighty to save. And friends, your loved one, your friend, they are not too hard for God. They are not too hard. Keep holding on. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep testifying. Because God can break through the hardest heart. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing. No one. Lord, in this building right now, as the people in this congregation lift up their hearts for that one person who came to mind tonight, as they lift them up before you in faith tonight, Lord, I pray that you would stir faith in the hearts of people here tonight to believe that, God, you can break through into that person's life. You can break down every barrier. And I pray, Lord, tonight that even from this meeting, we will see fruit. We will see those who have appeared to be so hard, broken by the power of the gospel, by your light coming in. Thank you, God, for this hymn that we're about to sing about the dungeon filled with light. Lord, we have experienced it, many of us here, but we want others to experience it. We want that, Lord. And I pray for any here tonight who have never truly had that experience of you, Lord, of their heart being changed by you, that tonight you would break into their heart, break into the hardness, smash it to pieces, Lord, and set them free by the light of the glorious gospel. What an amazing Lord you are. What a God of patience and compassion. What a God of love. Oh God, I pray that our love for souls all around us would increase and increase, that we would have a passion that drives us to our knees and to share the glorious gospel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.